for an adult audience. Love Line may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Love Line with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Testing. There we go. And again, it's Dr. Drew. This is Love Line. The phone number here is 1-800-LOVE-191. Now I know what Adam's talking about when he says, does this sound funny? Does it sound funny? Sounds right in your end? It must be the headphones. The show we're talking about tonight is I'm with Busey. We've got Adam De La Pena and Gary Busey here tonight. Gentlemen.
Hello. Hello.
How's it going?
And just before the mics heated up, I was trying to have you guys explain to me how the show works.
Yeah.
Okay.
How's it work?
Well,
we don't know.
Yeah.
That's how it works.
That's pretty accurate. Yeah.
We'll tell them how it started.
It started basically, I wanted to do a show with Gary Busey. I wanted to do a comedy show, and I talked to Gary, and he listened to me for 20 minutes and said nothing.
Wait, let me understand this. How'd you call him at home?
No. I set up a meeting with him. He was nice enough to have
me. He showed up.
What was the concept you went to him with?
I said that I thought he was, you know, it would be great in this type of show. And he sat and listened to me for 20
minutes. What did you say for 20 minutes?
I said a lot for 20 minutes.
What'd you say?
Well, I said,
Adam, tell him what you said.
Oh, all right.
Thank you, Gary.
I said, how would you like to do a comedy show? And Gary just said, I'm listening. And I continued to talk about, you know, how funny I thought he was in a lot of movies, and I thought that it would be great if he could do a weekly series.
100 movies, over 100 movies.
Yeah.
How many of them were comedies?
107 movies.
107 were comedies?
No.
How many were comedies?
I'm a comedy everywhere I go, but including the movies. The comedy that I did was, I look at the humor in a lot of them, but a movie right after Buddy Holly story called Fooling Around, which was Arnold and Ann Coulson's first production. We did that in Minnesota.
Well, Adam likes Silver Bullet.
I also like Black Sheep.
Black Sheep was a comedy. Sergeant Drake Savage.
And so now Gary teaches you things?
Yeah, so he sat and he listened to me for 20 minutes.
Well, go ahead.
Sure.
Go ahead and tell Drew about what you said to me.
I said, I'd really like you to do this. And the best part about it was...
I said, do what?
And I explained it to him that, you know, every week it would be a comedy show. And he, to his credit, listened to me for 20 minutes. And I thought, oh, this might be going badly. But then he stood up and he said, I'd like to be part of that.
That's right, I did.
And it was really great.
What do you think this guy who doesn't drive, whose girlfriend sings opera, comes up to you and starts talking about this crazy show on Comedy Central? What did you
listen,
think?
To Gary's credit, he listened to me for the full 20 minutes and said nothing.
I'm not sure if that's his credit or not. I just wonder what he was going through his mind.
Okay, I will tell you.
Okay.
The greatest risk of all is not taking one. And I didn't have anything going on at that time, and very creative at all times, so I said, wow, I've never heard of anything like this. I've never seen anything like this happen on TV since TV began. I was in the first grade when we had a TV in the house. The screen was about 8 inches wide, and we had two stations. And look where we are today. So I said,
where did you grow up here?
I was born in Goose Creek, Texas. It's called Baytown, Texas now, and I lived in Texas and Oklahoma, Tulsa High School.
I read somewhere that you came out here for music originally.
I did. I came out in a band called the Rubber Band, four-piece band, Harmony. We did association songs of Beatles and Beach Boys.
All
we worked a lot.
Texas and Oklahoma? Or
what?
You're all from Oklahoma or Texas? Or
That was from Oklahoma State University. That was four guys.
Yeehaw!
It's a new twist on the Beatles, I guess.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, the Beatles. Wow. What a magical group of men they were, and young boys, talking about love. All we need is love. I mean, wow. Classics, everyone. Classics, everyone.
Well, what's coming up? I'm with Busey.
People say, I don't know why I like this show, but I like it. Well, we don't know how we're doing it. We don't know what we're doing. But it comes out automatic from me.
Who sets it up? Who? Adam, go today. We're going to talk about.
No, we set it
it's
up
a little
like
barbecuing.
I picked up a bait.
Good episode.
I picked up
barbecuing.
I picked up a ball cap, and it had a skull of it, a buffalo skull on it, and it says Sedona, and I said, "My gosh, let's go to Sedona and find the magic Indian."
And that's what you did.
Yeah, that's how it starts.
It can start.
We go to the vortexes and
got it.
It can start in
live
any
the Indian
but it
way.
In Gary's head, not in Adam's head.
It starts both. There's an episode coming up.
Adam, you'll come to me and you'll say, gosh, yeah. Okay, go ahead.
There's an episode coming up that's about technology, and you get Gary's version of technology and my version of technology. So it's both ways. It's a two-way street, which
is great. Yeah, but your version is limited.
My version is limited.
That's okay, though. That's why we're together on the show. And you guess what? Every episode has a message.
Good.
Of hope and guidance, and have you ever looked at it this way?
Yeah.
And there's nothing.
Do you do any direct to camera sort of?
No, it's just in there.
Well, you know what? I understand why you haven't seen the show yet, because you're a very busy gentleman.
No, I'm dying to see the show because everyone's been talking about it, and that's why I'm so curious about it, because this is a show that really has struck
you.
I
don't think everybody knows this, but Drew, you have a franchise of petting zoos.
I do.
And petting farms, yes.
I do.
Yes, you do.
That's interesting.
You mentioned on O'Reilly's show.
We might do that on an episode.
I want to go find those zoos. I seem to have lost
them.
Well,
we have a episode coming up, and I pitched my Roadside Animal Cookbook to a publisher.
Nice.
With dead ferrets and raccoons and how you can make menus. You know what a sail cat is? A sail cat is a kitty cat that's been run over about 830 times, and you go peel it off the road and flip it like a frisbee across the prairie. Well, you can get it and break up the pieces, have a little fur on it, dip it, and badger the intestines, the juice from the intestines, and the endocrine system of the badger, and some weasel blood, because that's real soft. And so you have a sweetness to it. You mix that together, you have sail cat fondue. So that's part of the Roadside Animal.
Thank you. You have a little forks and the boiling.
In the wilderness.
Over the fire.
Over the fire, but listen to this. You eat with your hands.
Of course.
Whatever the food spills on, you can watch it just simmer a little bit, then pick it up off where it's fallen, and you'll be able to taste what that food has touched.
See, this way. Yeah.
This is what you're missing.
People are in a rapture.
You don't see that.
All right, I want to get some of your wisdom.
I'm just starting.
I know. Wait until we're 3 minutes into the show. I want you to give some of your wisdom to some of our young callers. So we're going to start with Brittany, who is 15. Brittany, what's going on?
Hi. About a month ago, my mom found a note, and it told... It was between me and my friend, and it had talked about me losing my virginity. And my mom wasn't too upset about it, but I begged.
But Dad?
Huh?
But Dad?
Yeah, my dad freaked.
Well, that's Dad's job.
Yeah.
Gary, you have Jake.
Yes.
You have other kids?
Yes, I have a daughter named Nellie.
How old is she?
She's nine.
Nine. Put yourself in Brittany's dad's place.
Brittany, what did you tell your dad and your mother?
I basically said that I got really pissed off. So I said that it was my business, and I made the decision that I was happy with. And
what'd you use for birth control?
What was that decision?
To have intercourse with a guy.
How old are you?
I'm 15.
15.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's something to think about when you're on this kind of mission for exploration of something that won't be a good dividend. And don't forget the word consequences. They come with everything we do.
Birth control? Yes?
No.
No birth control?
No.
Uh-oh.
How long ago did this happen?
It happened almost 2 or 3 years ago, actually.
When you were 12?
No, I was 13. I just turned 13.
Brittany, think as a 15-year-old now, what kind of decision-making does a 13-year-old make as it pertains to these kinds of issues? How old was the guy?
I think he was 16. We didn't really talk about age too much.
I wish Adam were here to ask that classic question. Where's your dad?
Are you still with him?
Adam's favorite question.
No, we were never together.
Oh, but you were that night.
Well, yeah.
So, all right, so what's going on? What do you want to ask us tonight?
Well, basically, I didn't know how to approach a conversation with him because he got really upset. And
is your dad kind of an abusive guy to begin with?
No. He's very sensitive. I don't know. He just... He's been really quiet ever since, and I don't know how to talk to him about it.
Okay, forget about how he is right this moment for a second. Has he been historically used alcohol or drugs or been kind of abusive with you?
No, not at all.
Where'd you come up with the idea to sleep with somebody at 13? It's sort of an impulsive thing to do. It wasn't a boyfriend. It was all of a sudden you're having sex with a guy, nothing for 3 years hence.
The attraction. What was that?
What were you getting out of that?
The payoff.
My mom, she has been the problem. It's not my dad.
Okay, so your mom's abusive.
Yeah, a little bit.
Does she drink?
No.
Okay, so your mom's been abusive, and this is sort of a little way of acting out some of that, huh?
I guess.
Yeah, that's the sort of fallacy of decision-making at 13.
That's very good.
The decision is
very
so
good.
Clouded by the emotional context that there's sort of no decision. You're acting out. Your mom's abusive, you're pissed off, and you're just going to do this thing. Now your dad, you've hurt his feelings. You've hurt yourself. I mean, that's really the greatest way to hurt your parents, hurt yourself, and you've managed to do that. Thank God you didn't get pregnant. Thank God you haven't continued on a tirade.
Yeah,
you're
thank
doing
God.
Okay
yeah,
right
you
now.
Keep it up.
I think, you know, there are always, in situations like this, there's opportunities for good, right? Your dad has seen you now as a maybe, there certainly will be more consequences and more parenting being done upon you, but maybe there's an opportunity here to reestablish your relationship on a new level, to talk to him, open up about these issues. Maybe they can talk to you about your sexuality more openly. Maybe you can talk to your dad about what a pain in the ass your mom is. Maybe you can get some family treatment. Because
and don't go into that conversation with your father and mother with fear or anxiety.
As within any family, it's the kids that have the symptoms. And your symptoms are what the result of how your mom's behaving. This is Leslie of 17.
Hi.
Hey, what's going on?
Nothing much. What about you?
You're talking to Gary Busey and Adam. Adam, did you pronounce your last name De La Pena or Pena? Pena?
De La Pena, yeah.
De La Pena. You're Mexican.
Yes.
You're sort of one of the least Mexicans Adam Carolla and I know.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I live.
All right.
We'll talk about that when he gets
here.
Okay.
I live in Mexican, so I'm used to it.
What's going on?
Not that much. I just wanted to ask y'all a personal question. All right, I'm in the Marines, okay?
And Semper Fi.
Huh?
Semper Fi.
Semper Fidelis. Yes, it is. Oorah. Anyways.
Motivate.
What?
Do that again.
Yeah, Oorah.
Hang on.
Semper Fi.
Motivate.
We had some Marines in here.
Nice.
Remember that TV show, Boot Camp?
Oh, yeah.
Well,
yeah, sure.
We had the two Marines that were the sergeants.
Oh, really?
Oh, wow.
Here's what they did on the air.
You got another question, Weirdo?
Bring it up.
Hurry up. Hurry up.
Bring it
up. Get out of my face.
Those are really nice guys. I like those guys. I like those guys. Those guys are good.
They remind you of a home, Leslie?
Huh?
They remind you of home?
Yeah. Like, call me out. Oorah.
So what's going on? What's your question?
I want to ask y'all, are y'all guys, like, intimidated by women that are a lot stronger than y'all? I mean, like, there's not very many women that are in the Marines, mm-hmm. but the women that are, we're, like, very strong. And, like, not just, like, physically, but, like, strong-willed. Are y'all, like, really intimidated by things like that?
Some men, I bet you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, some men are intimidated.
Some men are turned on by it, I bet.
Well, all men are desperately afraid of rejection and abandonment because of the armor they carry in from birth.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one thing that a man will use his manipulation and control on when he feels like he's going to be abandoned and rejected. When you intimidate a man, he'll run quick if he's going to be abandoned.
Yeah, well, I kind of shock guys because I don't really look like it. I mean, I'm a very shapely girl, I guess you could say. And it's just when I tell them I'm in the Marines, they just kind of get that weird look on their face, you know, because it don't look like I would be.
I think you're in the wrong squadron, my dear.
Yeah, you're.
Why is that?
You're.
Why is that?
You're training in the wrong camp.
What kind of camp do I need to be in?
I don't know, but we're guys who have a sense of themselves and aren't intimidated by women that pursue their career, whatever it might be. I when I was in medical school, I had a lot of female friends that kept telling me that their life, social life had changed, that they couldn't date guys anymore. They were intimidated by
Well, I'm going to be an MT, medical.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I'm very proud of myself.
Other Marines must be okay with you, right?
Yeah, I'm glad being a Marine. I'm really proud of being a Marine.
Yeah, you're fine. I'm sure it changes. I'm sure it alters the pool from which you can pull.
Yeah.
Right.
It's going to be a different group of guys.
Well put. Yes, that's
but
good.
But the guys that are interested in you will be fine.
Yeah, well, my boyfriend's in the Marines, too. So,
there you go.
I mean, it's something that really helps me out a lot. I mean, he pushes me when I need it, and I push him when he needs it.
Just scream at him. Give me 10.
Oorah.
All right, Leslie. Good luck.
All right, thank
Bye.
You.
Get on your knees, scumbag.
Wow. This is Serena, 16.
Hello, Serena.
How are you?
We're good.
Good, good, good.
Gary Busey, I'm with Busey. Tonight, I'm with Busey.
Yes, you are.
I'm with Busey.
You had the great pleasure.
Comedy Central, 10 p.m. Tuesday night.
Well, I'm sorry I didn't say that.
Yeah.
It's okay.
He'll say it.
Thank we'll
you.
Say it repeatedly.
When you
the
fall
show.
Behind, I'll catch you up.
What is the Crank Anchor? Is it just before that?
No. I don't know. I should know this, but I don't. Yeah, right. Yeah.
Crank Anchors, that's a story about feminine hygiene.
Why don't they have him do a crank anchor? I'm with Busey.
That's a
biblical
easy
story.
One.
Yeah.
Crank Anchor.
Serena, what's up?
Okay, I have two small questions, okay?
first is, what is an enlarged labia?
What does it mean, or?
What is it?
Well, there's two lips. One is majora and one is minora. One is sort of on the outside and has skin, and the other is all the pink and smaller ones on the inside. And some of the times the inside can sort of poke out and be long and big, and sometimes the outside ones can be enlarged, too.
In the deep south, they can look like the end of a pico sleeve.
Pico sleeve. That's like the pirate sleeve that peeks out from
that's
the...
That's the executive officer on the deck, sir.
Yes.
What?
Whatever. Whatever.
All right.
And if... What are you asking, though?
Yeah.
I just heard it on the radio, and some of my friends were talking about it, and I didn't know what it was.
That they were too big or and became enlarged?
This is talking about because we heard it on the radio.
Yeah, but... Well, that's like
so
saying
I was going to do plastic surgery.
Okay, those are they're talking about the inner lips being too big, and that some women don't like that, and guys don't care, and it just they sort of get in the way. But I mean, to say enlarged labia is like saying an enlarged nose. I mean, what does an enlarged nose mean? Well, your nose is big. It doesn't mean anything. It has no sort of medical implications.
You can fit a lot of nickels in a big nose.
Let's stay on the female vulva here for a second. This is Rachel 14.
Yeah. I was wondering, like, my mom and I, we both have these, and they're boils on the inner thigh area.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, my mom, I don't know.
I'm with Busey at 10 o'clock Tuesday nights.
Comedy Central.
That's right. Rachel, what's up? And you wonder what they are?
No, I was just, like, wondering, like, is there any way to, like, get rid of them or anything?
Try some antibacterial scrubs. Keep it real dry. Sometimes anti-inflammatory, like steroid creams, help with stuff like that.
Hmm.
But it's nothing you need to worry about. Okay, here's one for Gary here. Jay, 17.
Hey, I just have a question.
Ask Gary.
Ask me, Jay.
Gary's feeling left out.
Okay, I was in jail for like 22 months.
For what?
I can't tell you what for. But I was in jail for...
Should I be like Adam and put people on hold when they don't answer questions? Anderson was doing a touchdown dance. And now think about your compose your answer for next few minutes here, Jay, and figure out a way you can tell us approximately what it was you were in jail for without divulging confidences. Oh, look who's here!
Oh, hey!
Let's live and breathe.
Great to see you, Gary. Tickled pink, Adam.
Yeah, you look tickled.
Adam, what's happening?
Sorry, I'm late.
Settle in, sit down, and do you have an excuse from your doctor, your mother?
We've been having a great time without you.
Yeah,
I'm with Busey.
Yeah.
Jimmy Kimmel didn't have a guest at the last second, so he called me in. So
why did he call you? What do you have to give him
that
show?
Because he was in the bullpen warming up.
So I was there. Yeah. They were desperate over there, but I'm here now.
How did you do over there?
I give myself a good solid 8, 8.5.
Nice.
Good night. Good night, you guys. Good night. Watch it tonight after this show. You guys sounded great on the air. Don't let me interrupt.
Okay, don't. Don't worry.
Let me just have a minute and tell Adam something.
Yeah, sure.
What was that?
That was Adam's eerie impression of my grandmother that he would constantly do when I worked with him.
What would you do when she answered the phone?
I can tell this is going to make the ratings fly.
Hello? Is Adam there? Adam? No, he's not here!
You know what? He looks like Donny Osmond hitting high notes.
Yeah, thank you.
But get it worse.
Yeah.
And I told him he didn't strike us as Mexican until you talked to his grandmother.
Well, he
until my grandmother hung up on him and had she didn't know where I was.
Adam is he is the least Mexican of all Mexicans, except for the bus part, where the bus becomes his personal form of transportation.
Yes, that's why.
That's where he makes his comeback.
It's not using the bus.
That's how I keep it real. That's how I keep it real.
Takes his Chicano
stand. This is good.
This
is good. What he's saying to you about the bus?
He has sort of a Johnny Quest quality, doesn't he?
Who? Oh, in his nationality?
Yeah. He could be an evil empire guy.
No. That's his innocence and his fear.
Yeah.
But his ethnicity.
Yeah.
I love the show, by the way.
Oh, thanks.
What show?
Your show. I'm
what
with
is it
Busey.
Called?
I'm with Busey. 10
That's
o'clock,
good.
Tuesday nights,
yeah,
Comedy
sure.
Central. Yay! And I don't know where Crank Anchors is. I think they knocked off Crank Anchors.
Is that right?
Put this on.
Well, what? He do a Crank Anchors.
He's gonna.
Of course.
All right. Where are we?
Take a break.
Are we going to take a break?
You just arrived to Earth.
We can do one more.
Let's do one more.
All right. This is Jay 16. Jay?
Hey, how's it going, man?
Good.
Hey, I love the show, just gotta say.
Thanks.
I got a question for Dr. Drew.
Yo.
Hey, I was wondering if there's any way a chick could get pregnant if you finger banged her.
If there was semen on your finger, I guess.
Or if you broke your penis off and put it at the end of your finger.
Yes.
Like, well, I do once in a while.
That's quick.
If you had just ejaculated. Yeah.
These guys make a lot of sense, Jay. Listen to this.
Yeah, I can get them on a technicality that way. Mind if I just finger bang you? Okay, fresh. And then pow.
Yeah. So, no, Jay, just if it's really just a random finger, no.
No, what if you like, what about like pre-cum if you, I don't know, stuck your hand down there or scratch your balls or something and...
Whoa.
No.
So your balls don't excrete.
Now we're talking romance.
You're saying if you put your say you took your hand and you put it in a hive filled with semen, like a bear trying
like
to
a
get
sperm farm,
out of it.
A sperm farm.
Sperm farm and then put it up in her.
A semen comb.
Right. She could technically get pregnant.
Oh,
but
all
right. Don't worry about it, Jay.
That ain't going to happen.
You bang away.
No.
Use your helmet.
He's 16.
All right. Remember. No, I meant finger bang away.
I know.
Well, nobody knew that till right now.
I'm sorry.
But even so.
I knew it, man.
How much are the women really into that?
The finger bang?
Yeah. The 16-year-old female.
The finger... Here's the thing. But get rid of Jay. I don't really need to hear him anymore. Women...
Where's Gary going?
Women are into the... They're into the finger part. They're not so much into the bang.
That's not right.
Aspect
That's
of
not
the
right.
finger.
Every woman is different. Every woman is different. Yeah. And all men are failed women at birth. So what happens with that... prescription.
Taking
men
notes,
and women
Adam,
will,
right?
Yeah.
Men and women will
we start forever. Off as women.
Yes, men and women will always be different.
It's true. And we do all start off.
And the key to understanding a woman and what her speciality is, what makes her special, is just agree with her.
Right.
Agree with her and listen to her without interrupting and be her number one fan, her number one servant.
And that's it? Well, of course.
No, that's not it. That's the foundation, you village idiot. Come
yeah,
on,
but
stay
I
with
mean,
me.
You can get anyone to like you if you just nod your head the whole time they're talking and wait on them hand and foot.
Well, I can tell
that's
it's
easy.
Working for you, buddy.
Well, I just mean, what's in it for you? Yeah.
No. What's in it for her?
But it's like, Gary, it's
with
like,
the grace of your giving and the good nature to consider other people's feelings first.
It's like saying, here's what I'm saying. You say you want to be the world's greatest employee, show up an hour before everybody, leave an hour after everyone leaves, and never ask for a raise.
That depends on what your work is.
I can't do that.
No, that depends on what the job is.
It depends when the buses are running.
That's true.
If you work in a slaughterhouse, that won't arrive.
We got to take a break.
All right.
No, it's not time. No.
See, Gary's going to disagree with everything that comes out of our mouths.
Gary Busey's here. Adam De La Pena is also here. I'm with Busey. Tuesday nights, 10 o'clock, Comedy Central. And we'll be right back. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. Sorry I'm late. Dr. Drew's over there. Gary Busey and Adam De La Pena are all here. Adam, as I've told you in nights prior to tonight, is an old friend, partner, collaborator. On and off again, lover. Used to spend many.
You guys are off again.
On and off.
On and off.
On and off.
On and off. Like a light switch.
I would climb on him and then get off.
Off.
That's
yeah.
Wait a minute, Adam. Is this true?
This is another part of my life that I haven't shared with you yet, Gary.
Should we do an episode called Male Lovers of Mine?
No, we should not.
Male Lovers of Mine.
No.
Many hours sitting in Adam's office upstairs with my feet perched up on his desk.
You know what Adam's, you know what Adam's favorite game is with men?
P-string.
Name that smell.
Right.
Adam told me about this show idea months and months ago, maybe years ago, and never thought it would go down, and God bless him, he made it happen, and it's great. I'm with Busey, which is Tuesday nights, Comedy Central, 10 o'clock. All right, let's get back to phones. We'll speak to Johnny, who's 14. Johnny?
Yeah?
What's up?
I was wondering, like, you guys were saying that Busey, like, you guys don't script the shows?
Correct?
Yeah, but, like, you guys, like, had knives and stuff and were, like, going to stab each other. That wasn't scripted.
No, we just brought the knives out there to see what would happen. It was all dealing with Adam's fear.
Yeah.
And I spent that episode doing my best to show him that fear is not necessary. You shouldn't be afraid of death. You shouldn't be afraid of anything. In fact, fear can bring pain, and you can laugh through your pain and be peaceable
and
again.
Now he's got a post-traumatic stress disorder.
No, I don't.
Adam wakes up with night terrors and...
That's part of his composition.
That's why we have to do an episode.
Another one.
Fear too.
Fear. Yeah, because he's more afraid when we finish the first fear.
Yeah, I bet.
The next one is skydiving.
Oh, really?
Riding on the Magic Mountain Rides naked?
Right. Gary, no, we haven't done that. No, Gary.
Naked.
Yeah.
Gary got into skydiving.
Accelerated free fall, where you go out of the plane by yourself. That one.
Really?
You're going to fall 9,000 feet in 55 seconds, and you won't feel like you're falling.
Or maybe I won't.
No, you're going. You're going.
Accelerated free fall?
I bet his hair slows him down, too.
How did it make you go faster than gravity?
What?
Accelerated free fall?
Well, if you lay out flat, you go like 125 or 30 miles an hour.
No, 121 and a half. If you get pointed, like a javelin, you go over 200 miles an hour.
Yeah.
Is that what you want him to do, javelin?
Oh, yeah. I'll do anything. I'll do anything within reason. And I'll do it again.
Yeah.
It's like when I'm performing or playing music, if I make a mistake, I repeat it. Then it becomes part of the movement. And mistakes are gifts anyway, because they just show you a better way to
get. Once you do the javelin thing for a few thousand feet, how do you slow down again?
You do this.
Uh-oh.
You're going the javelin, you go.
Right.
But isn't that like hitting a wall? Wouldn't you?
No,
well,
it's not like hitting a wall.
You slowly go into it.
Yeah.
It's really fun. When that chute opens, you feel like you've done something that kings and queens can't even spell.
You know, the guys who do that thing where they put on the human fly suit, it's like a jumpsuit, but it's got wings built into it, sort of a flying squirrel thing, and sort of zoom around freestyle.
Yeah.
Does look pretty cool.
That looks cool.
You can do that in skydiving, too, without the wings. It has to do with moving your arms closer, sticking them out farther, moving your legs closer, sticking them out farther, and you'll shoot forward. Hundreds and hundreds of feet while you're still falling at 123 miles an hour.
How many jumps have you had?
I've done about 18.
Wow.
Whatever happened to the human fly?
Yeah, what?
Whatever happened to the human fly? I like the human fly guy. You don't see much of him anymore. Scaling buildings.
Hey, you know what you're doing? You're using your fear to get away from the fact that you're going skydiving.
Oh, no, I'm not doing that.
Yes,
no,
you are.
What
does a fly have to do with anything here?
No, the human fly.
Really, Adam, it's not the human fly. It was the thing of strapping a plunger to your feet.
Yes.
And your hands.
Walking upside of a building.
That went out with the souffle humor.
I'm going to bring that back.
Mary?
Yes.
You're 17?
Yeah.
What's up?
I cheated on my boyfriend.
Yeah.
And I've been going out with him for about a month.
Mm-hmm.
And
uh-oh.
There's a bunch of parties going on, and I just went every night, and I met this guy, and we just had sex, like, every single night.
You stinking whore.
What's your question?
I think I was in love with my boyfriend, but...
Nope.
No.
No way.
No way. There's no love there. Does it just
let him go.
Especially after a month.
Hey, honey, let me tell you something. When you get lost in your imaginary vagueness, your foresight will become a nimble vagrant, and you will not know where to go, who to see, or what to do, or how to get there, or how to get out of it.
Wait, that's a Zeppelin song, if I ever heard it.
It's Rush.
It's Misty Mountain Hop or something.
Look, if
it's on the DVD.
Pay attention, please.
The only possible way you could have been in love with this guy, the way this story would fit with you having been in love with him, is if that was such a scary thing to you that you have to absolutely destroy it and sabotage it.
Yeah.
That's a possibility.
Whoa, that's good, Drew. That is a truth.
Drew's heavy.
Everything was going good with our relationship.
I'm just telling you, if being in love and being in a close relationship, being vulnerable is horrifying to you, you've done a nice job of ruining it.
All right, well, let's scratch around a little. Do you have trouble with intimacy? Is your dad around? Did he die?
My dad's around.
He is.
But I have, I think I'm addicted to sex. I'm with a new guy all the time.
You might be a love addict looking for love in a place that it's not really there.
Were you sexually abused growing up?
Never.
Are you addicted to anything else?
That hold on. By the way, Gary's last muse was Juice Newton.
Got it. Got it.
And Tally. Hey, Mary.
Yeah?
Okay. I don't know what Drew's question was. I stopped paying attention.
Is she addicted to anything else?
I just think that, the reason why I think I might have cheated is because I think I was expressing my, feelings because his mom, forbid him from seeing me last week.
Nah. Well, you're not in a relationship with his mother.
If that's true, then you're just a despicable person.
Well, she thinks I'm the devil or something.
Yeah, well, you are.
That's the bottom line, honey.
Yeah,
despicable.
Maybe she loves too much.
Yeah, no. If you get a little angry at somebody and you act out in a very self and other destructive way, then you're a despicable person. But if intimacy is difficult for you and you have to sabotage it, we feel sympathy for you.
Adam, do you remember when you were in high school and you had that disapproving girlfriend's mother, so you showed her by going in your room, crying and masturbating and doing magic tricks?
Which time? You have to be more specific.
Do you realize he has tapes of David Copperfield?
Oh, sure, yeah.
Doug Henning.
Yeah.
Drew, who didn't know who Doug Henning was five years ago.
When Adam told me you didn't know who Doug Henning was, I was shocked and appalled.
Yes,
and I couldn't believe it.
But I lived through the 70s.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
We'll give him the benefit of his fantasy.
Yeah.
Did you bring any cards with you, Adam?
No, I didn't bring anything with me. What? No.
Are you incorporating any magic into the show?
Yes, there is some magic.
There's magic. There's magic everywhere. Indian. That was in Sedona. That was our second episode.
Oh, really?
And the one this Tuesday night is called Imagination.
But I'm talking about, you know, Marshall Brodeen playing.
Oh, yeah.
Cards,
there'll be some of that in there. Oh, yeah. Oh, definitely.
I'm not talking about Val Kilmer in the desert.
Right.
I'm talking about actual.
What was he doing in the desert?
Pulling rabbits out of the hat.
What was he doing with the deck of cards in the desert, Val?
All right. Now we're getting off the air.
No, we're not. We're not getting off the air. I'm not talking about spirituality.
I'm talking about Reno, Nevada, bad tuxedo.
Right. There will be magic. I owe it to the people that love magic, and there's about 100 out there. So, yeah, there will be magic.
There should be more because you are good. You are good.
Thank you very much. Yeah.
You are good. You can't make me disappear.
Jay, we put on hold because he wouldn't say what he was accused of.
To
bring some of the Corolla flavor to the show, he wouldn't answer one of my questions. For instance, the question was, why was he in jail?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I was in jail for residential burglary.
There we go.
Residential. Right. All right.
Okay, my question, well.
Were you trying to get money for drugs?
No.
Why couldn't you say that, Dick?
I don't do drugs.
All right.
Actually, that's kind of part of my problem. See, ever since I got out like 14 months ago, I've been, like, really strict with the people I hang out with.
He was in jail for 22 months.
Wow.
Yeah.
And I've been, like, really strict with the people I hang out with because I don't want to take any chances of messing up again.
Right.
And people think I'm being, like, too strict about it. Like, I won't.
Right, No, you're not.
First of all.
No, you're not.
I asked him to come up with an answer that at least gave us the idea of what he was in jail for. He was not in jail for residential burglary for 22 months.
Yeah. How do you do 22
else.
Months?
It's something else. But I told him I wouldn't push him.
Well, it is
something else?
It's something else
that he can't discuss. It's that kind of thing, I guess.
For legal reasons he can't discuss? Or maybe it's just a second offense. Whatever it is. Hey, Jay?
Yeah.
All right. So you can't hang around with people who may be potential troublemakers
because
they could get you back into trouble, right?
Well, that's just a simple thing, but I take it like a step further. Like, I won't hang out with anybody who just smokes cigarettes or drinks.
All right. So be it. You'd be like born again.
And
fine.
Some people are telling me, like, I should just lighten up and live my life, but...
Yeah. You're doing the right thing. You're doing the right thing by what you're doing and just going with your life and the freedom of who you are and what your truth is because you've done that tour, and that tour has been canceled.
Yeah, right.
There you have it.
Hey, Jay?
There you have it, buddy.
Hey, some people
God bless.
Are like, too mature for my age.
All right, who cares?
Yeah,
look,
who cares?
Just, you learned a lesson. You learned it early. You had an experience that most 15, 16-year-olds don't have. And now you're being extra careful on the way out. You don't have to get paranoid about it and not hang around with guys who chew gum.
Well, the only worrisome piece of this story is that he's clearly avoiding some part of himself that's still lurking around.
It might emerge
or be triggered by other people. And life is a funny way of bringing those things out in ways you'd never expect. So you might want to sort of look into...
Yeah, without warning it comes.
Yeah, whether it's a 12-step program or therapy or something that sort of goes at that so it's toned down quite a bit so you don't have to be so avoidant of things that might trigger this thing.
Gary, ever do any time in the jug?
I'll tell you what, for the caller coming in, I was clean from cocaine for 8.5 years. And then I was at a party, and I saw a big plate of cocaine, and there's a lot of wonderful people there, and I said, you know what? I can handle this now. I can control this. I deserve an award. Took a hit. 2 weeks later, I had 3.5 grams in my pocket every day. And not every day, but most of the days. And I OD'd, finally, on May the 3rd, 1995. And what I used to start over again was called relapse justification, where I thought I was okay with it. It'd be okay, but it's not. It's a devil. It's a demon. It is the worst thing you can do to yourself is put yourself in the position of dying inside. And the great tragedy in life is not death. It's what dies inside of you while you're living. And that's what that substance does to you.
But death's got to be second.
Death?
Bad experiences go, yeah.
It's up there. Yeah.
Well,
it's
I've been there, too. I've been there, too.
Died three times, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, once on the motorcycle.
Once with the cancer.
Once with the cancer. Once with the OD. Coke. Yeah. You know what I like about you, though? You spread it around. It's not like three cancers, three pokes, three bikes.
This is a six-ring circus here, buddy.
Six-ring. All right, let's take ourselves a little break. What do you say? Gary Busey in here. I think Gary may die during the break.
No.
Drew will bring you right back.
What do you mean by die?
He'll bring you back.
Are you going to spray me with paint to dye me?
True.
No, he's going to die inside, Adam.
That's right.
No, I don't die internally.
Drew will bring it back. He's got a crash card.
Adam, have you ever had a cigar put out on your neck?
No, I haven't. I saw you wanted to do that to Adam De La Pena on one of the episodes. What was it, cigarette,
you're
cigar?
Wrong. You haven't seen it. You haven't seen it. You're lost again.
And the you fantasy want to put something out on him.
You want to put something out on him?
No, I'm just saying.
I took a
paintball.
Are you
talking about the campfire game?
I took a paintball in the foot. That was bad.
Right. You shot yourself.
I shot myself. That's,
are you talking
my
about
defense.
The campfire game where I chased him with a burning stick?
Maybe that was it. Yeah.
No, that's a good
game. Game.
Yeah. It's a good game.
It's a good game. You can run fast.
It keeps you from taking naps.
Gary Busey here. I'm with Busey, name of the show, along with Adam De La Pena. Mijo, as I call him.
Yeah.
10 o'clock.
Mijo, as he calls you.
Comedy Central. Tuesday nights. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew, 311, in here tomorrow night to talk about smoking pot and music and all that good stuff. Gary
that's
Busey.
Awesome.
Hey, how are you out there?
Adam De La Pena.
Hey, everybody.
Same guy.
I'm Busey. Yeah. It's Tuesday nights, Comedy Central, 10 o'clock. If you haven't seen it,
uncanny.
You should.
And tell all your friends and even tape it for because you'll see it again and you'll laugh at things you didn't realize were funny the first time through.
Unscripted, real time. Just
improvisation.
The way it should be.
It's hidden reality revealed.
Hidden reality revealed. Dr. Drew over there has got no current TV gig. Let's go to the phone. Speak to Emily, who's 19.
Got
Emily?
A book coming out late August.
Right. No one cares. Go ahead.
Cracked.
Hello.
What's up?
I've been dating someone since September. I just got back from my first year from Boston, my first year of the university out there. Mm-hmm. And I was just wondering, I've been in a relationship since September, like I said, but right now it's long distance. He lives in Morocco.
And where do you live?
Boston.
Does it matter if he lives in Morocco?
Yeah, I mean,
she lives...
I thought you said she was away for a year somewhere. I thought maybe she was in Morocco. Or
I see. How'd you meet this Moroccan man?
In the dorms.
Where? What school?
Dorms.
At what school?
Boston University.
All right. Is he coming back to attend school?
Yeah, he is. He is, yeah.
All right. And what's the problem?
Well, early on in the relationship, he got caught by the police for possession of marijuana.
Yeah.
And I kind of stayed with him to support him through that. We were only going out for like 2 months. And so I thought maybe I should... you know, stick around and try to help him through it because he was going through a rough time.
How much pot did he have on him?
Not a lot. It was really stupid.
6 kilos. Like. What is your question?
My question is, right now, like, he cheated on me 6 months into our relationship, and my question is, I have a father who's on his third marriage, and I don't know if I'm sticking with this relationship because I have a problem with commitment.
Who did he cheat
no,
with?
No, you don't have a problem with commitment. You're attracted to guys who will leave you.
Ooh.
You're attracted to guys who will cheat. You insist on being in a relationship with guys who will cheat because Dad was a cheater.
Emily.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yes, it does, but he broke up with the girl who he cheated on me with.
There we go. And we're going to...
Yeah.
It's a cycle.
Emily,
like a
cheaters
cycle.
Cheat, period. They don't cheat one time. They keep cheating.
Right. Hey, Emily?
Yeah?
What's the matter? Did we disturb you? What's wrong with your attitude?
It's just like...
Are you hot or are you depressed?
I'm kind of
depressed, I guess.
All right.
Then you should
that's
go deal
with that.
That's the
worst part, when you have the choice between being hot or depressed, better to be hot.
But she's smart.
But listen, the guy cheated on you. Who did he cheat on you with? His ex-girlfriend?
He went out with this girl for 2 years in high school, and then she found out that I was in the picture, and so I guess they broke up because she was mad at him.
So he was cheating on her with you.
Right.
And now he's cheating on you with her.
Whoa.
Emily.
All right, just
the circle be unbroken.
The guy is a dick. You listen, BU has great mental health services, extensive student services there. Go get a therapist and start talking about this stuff with your
good,
dad.
Good.
You're going to keep playing this out over and over and over again. This is just the beginning.
All right.
Even though it was 6 months ago.
Oh, Emily, please just take my word for
the
it.
The only reason, the main reason we don't trust him is because you're attracted to him.
That's right. Well, no, all
whoa!
The,
tell him to pack that fez and hit the road. I don't know what other thing they do in Morocco. Yeah. They eat couscous.
They have belly dancers get in your pants when you have big buffoon pants and dance there.
Oh, really?
Fighting snakes.
You know, the thing that's funny about me is...
fighting snakes in your pants.
Two-headed snakes.
I hear Morocco, and I think to myself, I think I don't like those people. And then I think,
Wait a minute.
Maybe I do like them. And then I think, better play it safe and not like them.
Why is that? What are you afraid of right now?
You know, they're from that whole part of the world.
Why does that cause fear in him? Of work, missing his masturbatory.
Why do you have fear over the word Morocco?
It just, you know, at first, I like the Moroccans, you know.
At first, you like them. What do you like about them?
Well, I like the fact that I think they smoke a lot of hash. You know, that's one thing I liked. I like the fez.
What about the fashion?
I had a fez. I like the idea that the guys wear sandals and a dress around.
They're portrayed well in cartoons.
Those are called sarongs.
Sarongs. Not good boner attire, by the way. I don't know what you do in high school.
Isn't that Casablanca?
Depends
on how you're gifted.
Yeah, I'm just saying, I couldn't get away with wearing sweatpants in high school. I don't know how these guys could sundress.
I think you're okay. You're taller.
All right, but the point is I'm still out. My jury is out on the Moroccans. That's all I'm saying.
Fair enough.
Oh, you're that's good.
Yeah.
That makes sense in what you're saying.
How should we feel about the Moroccans?
Good. Very good about them.
Feel good about them?
Yeah.
All right. Well, maybe I've turned the corner on them. Kelly?
Hi.
They eat with their hands, those people. So what?
Hey, the Roadside Animal Cookbook that I'm publishing.
Oh,
you
my
eat
God,
with
you
your hands
about
in
this?
The wilderness.
Really?
Oh, my God.
Yeah. A sale cat.
Oh, no,
that's
give him something else. I've heard the sale cat. Give him another one.
Well, he hadn't heard it.
But the listeners have heard it. All right, give him the sale cat. I beg your pardon.
You can go to Sedona, Arizona, where there's some observatories, and look on the telescopes.
Right.
You'll find red squirrels that are basted on those telescopes because they lie in the sun. You take the red squirrel off. You make a campfire. You get it cold. You know, coals burning.
Wait, let's back.
Okay, wait. All right. You get the red squirrel. You split it down the middle. You take the endocrine system and the intestines out.
Right.
Then you squeeze the squirrel over a pan, and the blood comes out and all the juices come out.
Right.
Then you scrape the fur off the back of the squirrel and save it for an earring or a ring you want to make or a hair design. Right. And then you put the squirrel in the pan. And it's good to have another animal to put, like squirrel feet.
Yeah.
If you have other squirrel feet, squirrels are tree rats.
What
anyway.
Skunk? Skunk feet?
And you put skunk? It and you roast it up.
Right.
And you eat the meat very softly because it's not a flayed squirrel. And then you can take the tail of the squirrel, rub it around the pan where all the juices are, stick the tail of the squirrel in your mouth and pull it out, holding your teeth down, and all the fur comes off the tail stick, and then you just swish around the fur in your mouth and spit it out. And you can save the squirrel bone on the tail for a toothpick.
He's pitching this to a book publisher.
Hey, that's a...
How about we just go to Arby's and call it a day? I mean,
why do that? That's not exciting. That's not
work.
Survival food.
Yeah, it's not.
Sale cat.
We're pre-apocalypse.
Do you know what a sale cat is?
I thought
you described it pretty accurately.
Sale cat, a kitty cat that's been run over on the freeway 820 times.
Right.
And you go peel it off and throw it across the prairie like a frisbee. It lands, it breaks in pieces.
Sale cat.
It doesn't break into pieces.
Yeah, it does because it's as stiff as a board. They're like little chips with fur on them.
Okay, all right.
Little chips with fur on them. Get cheese and get some roots. From the cactuses, cut the cactus up to give water in there.
Yeah.
Stir it up. Yeah. Put some butter in there. Put some Subs barbecue sauce, and eat it like a Cuisinart.
But why are we trapped in the desert? I don't understand.
Well, that's the location I picked for this fundamental animal cookbook.
See, everyone's got their own sort of specialty cookbook.
There's the woods,
right?
Gary's wants to be roadside animal cookbook.
Okay. Yeah, when's it coming out, Gary?
It's probably in 2 months.
Yeah, I would think so. I mean,
you're gonna have to watch. What's that episode?
It's about imagination.
That's the episode. This Tuesday night, you'll see me pitching this Roadside Animal Cookbook to a publisher with a ferret and a raccoon, which you can also use dead animals as mobiles for a children's bed.
But you don't go kill them. No, roadkill.
Remember Lady Bird Johnson? She had clean up the road situation?
Yeah. Well, oh, boy, our listeners, big fans of Lady Bird. All right, hold on. Kelly.
Hi.
You're 25?
Uh-huh.
I'm sorry for Gary's tirade. What's your question?
Why would you carry condiments through the desert in your backpack anyway?
You don't take condiments.
Well, he did say the barbecue sauce.
Yeah.
Oh, the barbecue sauce?
Yeah.
And butter.
And butter. Well, okay.
Yeah, butter doesn't travel well.
Butter doesn't travel. These are barbecue sauces. Well, I was thinking about the privacy in my backyard.
Wait a minute. You could be driving a car through the desert.
Yeah.
It's a road.
Sure.
Yeah.
All right. Kelly.
You know what? Kitty cat is the best little chopped up like tuna, but it's a kitty cat. It's so sweet.
All right.
And it's so harmonious.
We're digressing. What do you need?
We have to take a break.
Kelly, do you have a question?
No, there's no break. Let's talk about the badger.
I'm 25. My boyfriend's 36. We've been together for about a year, and in this year, he hasn't had a consistent job. And last week, I broke up with him. And when I broke up with him, he threatened to commit suicide.
Oh. Well, good. Gary can eat him.
What? Eat what?
Eat him if he kills himself. All right. Hold on a second, Kelly.
Okay.
We got to take a break.
No deal.
I'm sorry. I know you have an important question.
You don't need humans.
We're going to take a quick break. Chef Gary Busey's here tonight along with his sidekick, Adam De La Pena. I'm with Busey, name of the show. Tuesday nights, Comedy Central, 10 o'clock. Take a quick break, then we'll get back with Kelly and tell her why her boyfriend shouldn't kill herself. Yeah.
Get funky.
Drew's favorite song.
It's Adam's, too. This Adam. Adam Bielefania.
Get funky now.
Hey, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. 311 in here tomorrow night. And Gary Busey, Adam De La Pena in here tonight from I'm With Busey, 10 o'clock Tuesday nights, Comedy Central. What were you going to say?
I'm afraid until Gary stopped doing it.
Oh, Gary's taking it. Drew's test. Hey, go ahead. That's fine.
What? Ask me.
I saw... they played Buddy Holly over the weekend. The Buddy Holly story, sorry. Starring
Gary
Busey.
That's okay, buddy. I know your shortcomings. I like
it. Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah. That was we need to get enjoyable. Him on the episode. I watched it. Yeah. Gary has Buddy Holly's guitar. You have his actual guitar, right? Play it all the time.
Not all the time.
He came out in Hollywood originally in a band called the Rubber Band.
Yeah, heard that on the radio.
Yeah. The Rubber Band from Oklahoma State University, 1967, 66, and 68.
I had a surreal experience when I was driving in. I was listening to this show, and I was thinking, I hope I bust in there soon. I thought to myself, I am late. Yeah, and I was sort of waiting to hear me bust in, but then I realized that would be difficult.
It's like a time machine.
Aren't you yelling out questions?
Bizarre. Yes. Yeah, Drew, you handled yourself like a pro.
Oh, about that.
Kelly?
Hi.
So,
hey, Kelly, how are you, Kelly?
25, and you got a 36-year-old boyfriend, hasn't worked much this year. You broke up with him. He's threatening to kill himself.
Well, I broke up with him, but then I got back together with him because of the fact that he was threatening to kill himself.
That's asking for help. He's asking for help when he says he's going to kill himself.
Do you plan to stay with him?
Well, I don't know.
Here's what you got to do.
He's done this before, and he actually attempted suicide and was almost successful when his ex-wife
crying for help.
Divorced him.
Well, here's what you got to do. You've got to get him to some care and make that a requirement of your being with him at all. And then once he establishes a relationship with a team, then you got to help him, help alert that team that you're going to be leaving and that he becomes suicidal and put him in their hands. Because his mental health is something you should be concerned with, but it's not your responsibility. You can't live your life because of his crazy threats.
How did he? You hear that, Adam? How did?
Got it.
How did he attempt to kill himself?
Was Adam trying to kill himself?
Time?
He threatened to leave to the Busey show.
Time? Nah.
He his ex-wife left him, and then he drank a bottle of Malibu and took over 546 aspirin.
Bottle of what? Malibu?
Yeah.
What's that?
It's flavored rum.
Malibu rum. And then he took 546 aspirin and something like...
It's the new champagne. All right.
Took a bunch of stuff.
And that makes sense.
And what... And he didn't die, though, huh?
No, he didn't.
Quite a constitution this kid has.
He grew up and went diarrhea a whole bunch.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. So... Kelly, you don't sound thrilled with the guy. And listen, everyone, how great is, how ill-fated a strategy is that where you just claim you're going to kill yourself so you get back together with someone who wants nothing to do with you, and now they're basically on suicide watch for the rest of your relationship.
Yeah.
But Kelly, do what Drew told you to do.
Get him
and be careful about the next guy you choose, all right?
Okay.
And by the way, doing guys should be done with this by
17.
Well, not give him 23, 24, okay. But this guy's 36 years old.
Yeah.
Gary, what do you think of people who kill themselves?
I think they're afraid of living, and the fear that lives in them is so much it defeats their purpose of living. They can't chase and catch their dreams, and when you don't chase and catch your dreams, your imagination will live in empty spaces. And you'll be afraid of living. You'll be afraid of what's coming up to you. And you won't accept the good for what it's worth. You'll accept the bad because it's familiar to you. And it will cause fear. And all fear comes from hurt.
So you're for it?
I'm for what?
Fear.
Suicide?
No.
No, okay. Just want to be clear.
Do you get it?
Yeah, no, I got it.
What are you saying that for at the end?
I just want to make sure we're on the same page. True, for, against?
Against.
Against suicide?
I'm against.
I'm against.
Against. Against. Everyone's against.
I'm against it.
Charlie.
That was good.
Yeah.
You're 17?
Yeah.
What's up?
Okay. Been going out with this girl for about 16 months.
Mm-hmm.
And about 5 months ago, her mother passed away.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a pretty close relationship and everything. And, I mean, I expected her to take it the way that really anybody would. I mean, she was pretty devastated by it.
Mm-hmm.
But over the past 5 months, we usually go out and we'll go back to her house and she'll fall asleep around 10 o'clock.
Mm-hmm. Raping begins about 10:15?
Not quite.
Oh, okay. All right.
Not quite.
Not quite.
That's an open-ended answer there.
All right.
But,
not anymore.
She falls asleep, and...
And then I'm pretty much just there until I've got a curfew of midnight. I mean, I'm 17. So.
What are you doing while she's sleeping?
I mean, I'm just kind of there with her. I mean, we usually start a movie, and I just kind of finish that out, and then...
No, what are you doing when you're there with her?
Just watching a movie?
Yeah, pretty much.
I mean, do you ever watch her sleep?
Yeah, I mean...
Uh-huh.
You see the Buddy Holly story last weekend?
No, I didn't.
Mm-hmm. Have you heard of Buddy Holly?
I have heard of Buddy
Holly. All
right,
that's good.
Steve McQueen.
All right. Hey, hey Charlie, so what's the question?
Okay, so my question is... she's having trouble sleeping at night and stuff, and she said that she can only sleep. Like, she doesn't only sleep when I'm around, but it's easier for her to sleep
mm-hmm.
when there's somebody, like, right there with her. And
is that because you're boring to her?
No,
she's afraid
I really don't think so.
She needs that closeness. Her mom just died.
Yeah, she's freaked out.
My question is, should I try and press some type of therapy on her, try and get her to go to therapy at all?
It's been 5 months. 5 months since mom died.
Yes.
Is she having trouble functioning?
Not. I wouldn't say so.
Well, Drew, if she's 17 years old. Charlie, sorry.
Trick question.
Yeah. Okay. It shouldn't. Okay. I'm putting Charlie on hold because it's like I'm talking to a jukebox. It's skipping or something.
Yeah.
But listen, he sounds like a good guy. He's not taking advantage of his girlfriend when she falls asleep, like I would. But. Should every 17-year-old whose mother passes away seek some form of temporary therapy?
It would be nice. If that were available to them, it would be helpful.
So it could never hurt.
It could not hurt. But the real thing is if she's having trouble functioning, if she's having sleep disturbances, appetite disturbances, extreme sadness, unable to sort of manage her activities of life, her school, her relationships, that sort of thing,
mm-hmm.
and especially if it's now 6 months into this, by all means, that is the time for professional help.
All right. Gary, is it true they've approached you to star in the Buddy Epson story coming up?
No, they've been talking about it, but I can't wear the shoes.
Got the big hole, the big novelty hole in the bottom of them.
Yeah.
All right. True, Buddy Epson passed away.
Oh, today?
Yeah.
Let me tell you, those people who passed away.
Yesterday, maybe.
Hey,
yeah.
Uncle Jed?
In reference to this last caller, all people who pass away to the other side, they're in a much better place than they were here.
Are they?
I have been there.
What about you? You live in Malibu. Better in Malibu?
No, I'm talking about out of your body to the other side. That happened to me after my motorcycle wreck, and I can tell you it's beautiful there.
How long were you dead for?
I don't know. It was after surgery. It's Cedars-Sinai, and my body stopped functioning. They put machines on me. That's when I left my body.
Really? And what's your memory of that?
Beautiful.
Really?
The only thing I felt, there's no men or women over there. It's androgynous voices that speak to me in thought from big gold balls. Those are the angels of provinciality. And I was given some information on what I was going to go through coming up. And I came back. And it was my choice.
Did they send you back? Did you ask?
No, they said... you can come with us now, or you may return to your body and continue your destiny. Then there's a big gap, and said, it's your choice. Everything I heard from that voice, an androgynous voice speaking to me in thought, was the lovingest feeling I've ever had.
Nice.
Well, because I was over there.
So you have no
you
fear.
Don't have that. You don't have, no, I don't have fear.
No.
Fear is a dark room where the devil develops his negatives.
Right.
Fear, F-E-A-R, that stands for false evidence appearing real.
I think he's got a digital camera now.
Who?
I don't want to cramp on the fear devil negative story, but I think he's gone digital.
Who?
The devil.
No, he doesn't know how.
Oh, he hasn't?
No. So, you'll notice in the episode we have coming up that I know that cameras, since you buy good guys, are weapons of mass destruction.
Oh, really?
You see how I prove it.
Oh, I right, see. The yeah. technology
The technology episode,
That's
yeah.
next Tuesday, not this Tuesday. This Tuesday's imagination.
You know what I'd like
I'm
to
curious,
do?
I'm curious. Yeah. I'm really yeah. gave you an affirmation on the questions you're asking.
There you are. You're
to
solid.
To find out the truth of the heart of the matter here.
Well, I'm jealous because here's what I would like, Drew, and I think we could do it through modern medical technology. I would like you to take me down to clinically dead.
Remember that movie, Flatliners?
Yeah.
That movie's awesome.
Cryogenics.
Well,
we'll get to that later.
Oh, did you see Cryogenics?
I saw the episode. Yeah, you wanted to be frozen
no,
in a storage
No, I'm going
locker.
To be that. I'm going
yeah,
to,
you got to...
Not a storage locker, a coffin.
Yeah, a coffin. Right, yeah, yeah.
You,
coffin.
In a storage
it's
locker.
It's an igloo
you
coffin.
You should tape the episode so you can watch them again or take notes. Or
I do. I have a secretary there. She takes shorthand. I study it. Copious notes.
Is that the girl from Morocco?
All right, but then
let's get back to Flatliners.
Here's what I want to say, Drew. Hmm. Here would be a nice gift for you to give me.
A walk on the other side?
Okay, yes. But hear me out. We go through life, everyone goes through life with the fear of their demise, you know?
Right. Oh, that's not necessary.
It's not necessary, but we can't help it.
You don't feel death.
I know, but, you know, you have people that get on an airplane, they get a little nervous, they get behind the car wheel, they get a little nervous, they're in a bad neighborhood at the wrong time, they're looking over their shoulder. Here would be nice. And then, so other people...
That's fear.
They just find Jesus Christ, they become born again, and then they have this sort of warm glow inside, but meanwhile they can't drink or do it doggy style or anything, and they end up
no.
horrible lives.
No.
But here's what I'm saying, Drew, this would be a good gift for me.
You just came from Sarasota, Florida.
Bring me down. Take me down.
Yeah.
Take me down to death.
Yeah.
Let me feel the warm golden orbs that invite me in like Gary has felt.
Let me do that for you.
Let me you do that. You'd be I don't
no.
I'd actually I wouldn't be comfortable with you in the room. Gary, I don't want him distracted. I'm talking about throwing squirrels in the desert. Meanwhile, I've been flatlining for 20
just,
minutes.
I'm just,
and wake up brain dead.
Adam, I'm just here to help you find yourself.
All right. I'm going to need to know where you are when I'm doing this process, like I'm chained to a radiator in some basement in Pensacola.
He takes you down to your death.
Takes me down to my death.
Let you talk to the golden orb.
I talk to the golden orb. They tell me everything is great. And then I pop back. And now I'm alive again. And it's like, this death is nothing.
You were never dead in the first place. When you die here, you're not dead.
But the point is...
The point is that...
Whatever's on the other side, whatever's on the other side, I have no fear of
anymore.
Great!
And I go through life, you know, gangbanger pulls a Mac 10 on me, and I just start laughing hysterically.
Whatever it is happening to you, laugh at it, and that will secure yourself in your own personal freedom.
But see, now I'm too scared to laugh.
That's my point.
Why don't we run this
Have you ever played Tickle and Pee?
What would he need to do that?
Well, why don't we
medically.
First do it with Adam De La Pena as a trial run?
Yeah.
They could film
get
it.
Get the dosage right.
I'll be the test monkey.
Let's test the monkey. Let's get the bugs out of the system. Good call. Someone expendable.
What we do is we
Why did you refer to him as a test monkey?
I referred to myself. It's all with electricity. We induced the ventricular fibrillation.
You could do that. So you'd basically use electricity to throw my heart into.
You know what? You know what's good though. You know what would be good for you? Suffocation with a pillow.
It would make us feel good. I'm not
and
sure.
And then I know when you're gone. I know when you're gone and you're not too far away. I'll take the pillow off. You'll come back.
You'll be
glowing like a rhubarb on Halloween.
And my ass will hurt when I wake up.
No. You don't have an ass over there.
Oh, really? No anus.
Wow.
I like this place.
No penis either, though.
All that stuff you go.
No hand, no penis.
No. You don't have any external genitals. You have nothing.
Well, what if he goes to hell? He'll have penis and no hand.
I'm plagued, but at least I got my asshole back.
That's why.
Your asshole will not be there because you're not eating over there, you idiot.
That's
listen to me.
That's why
no,
you get
hell,
to check.
Hell.
You got
him. I like you.
In hell, you need an asshole so you can be cornholed by Hitler.
No. The mammary glands, the genitalia, the arms, the elbows, the ankles, the knees, the fingers and toes do not exist on the other side.
But see, if you go, you can check it out. And so that's a good thing. You know, you can pull
back. Come back and give a report.
All right.
Because you're
next caller. True, work this out.
How much time you need?
What?
I just need enough time to speak to the Golden Orb.
Okay. No, you don't speak to it. You listen.
Rent flatliners and work it out, Drew.
I'm chatty.
No,
I'm
not
chatty.
When you're over there. You won't be chatty. You'll see your whole life, and it goes by that fast.
Okay.
Right. And you'll like every bit of it. Yeah. And you'll say, first thing a person says when they pass over is, why was I so serious?
Really? All right. James?
Jump in there.
You're 17?
Yeah.
What's up?
Oh, a lot, man.
All right, I'm done with James. I'm bored immediately.
That was fast.
We're gonna talk more about flatlining with Drew.
Yeah,
Priscilla
and the Golden Orb.
Yeah, Priscilla, 15.
No.
You know what I'd like? I hope the Golden Orb thing catches on. Were you getting a fight with a guy?
The Golden Orb.
You make a fist and go, you're gonna speak to the Golden Orb, buddy.
The Golden Orb is an angel of provinciality.
Yeah,
it's not God.
But you're.
That's an AOP.
All right.
Priscilla?
What?
You're 16?
Yeah.
What's up?
I wanted to know, does tweak affect a menstrual system?
Yes.
What's it's tweak? Speed?
Yeah.
No, like glass.
Speed, that's speed. It's amphetamine.
Yeah, but not amphetamine.
All right, why do you say no then when I say speed?
Oh, because I didn't know if speed was part of that. I'm like, yeah.
Speed, glass, amphetamine, whatever. It's all
right.
The same.
Tweak. Okay. Tweak. What's up? You're 16. What are you doing?
Oh, it's not me. It's, like, actually one of my friends.
One of your friends. You ask that friend if she wants to speak to the Golden Orb.
If she's using enough speed that it's affecting her menstrual cycle, she needs treatment.
Yeah, because she was, like freaking out on me. Kept on telling me, oh, crap, my pregnancy tests tell me no, but I haven't gotten my period in 2 months.
Well, if she's doing speed all the time, she's going to be pretty irritable and paranoid and anxious all the time anyway.
All right, Priscilla. We only take calls about people who are having the experience anyway. But tell your friend not to do speed, all right?
Okay. Yeah, no speed, right. No speed.
I didn't trust Priscilla. She sounded like,
she was a little bit vacant.
She was catty too. It's, it's not the Tiger Beat hotline. Just tell your friend to quit doing the speed. Matt?
Yeah.
You're 24?
Yes, sir.
What's up?
Well, my penis isn't really putting out 100% when I'm in bed with the ladies.
Yeah.
How much percent?
I've long suspected my penis was traveling well under 100.
Like hardness as far as when I buy myself. Good and hard. I mean,
yeah.
You can't move the thing.
You really like yourself, eh?
Oh, yeah.
Are you on any medication?
Accutane.
Accutane. How long have you been on that for?
Severe acne.
How long have you been on that for?
Probably 5 years now.
That could affect your erectile function.
It could?
How does it work by my... it works great when I'm by myself.
I know, but when you're... You know, it's like anything else. When you're in sort of a performance situation, you need... all pistons firing, you know what I'm saying? You need
right.
Peak performance in order to deal with the anxiety and whatever else that's involved in performance, and it may impair you a little bit, the Accutane.
That's going to be one of my first questions for the Golden Orb. It's like, how come the 300 best boners I've had in my life, no one has been in the room but me? Is that fair? Yeah. Does that seem like a great
plan? No, that's
plan?
The magnitude of your imagination and your fantasy. That's good.
No, I mean, my boners, my top 500 boners, no one has been within 70 miles of my
Gary,
penis.
Well, let me ask you this. You get upset when you see it, you're like, somebody who's only here.
No, when your boner's erect, can you see it?
He's watching videos.
How dare
He's watching
you.
Videos.
How dare
He's
you.
He's watching videos. What do you see?
True.
The remote.
No, I mean, your best boner, it's in the morning when it's pressing up against when
that's a piss hard on.
You want to take a picture and show it to everybody at that stage?
That is a piss hard on.
It's true, but call it what you like. It's a hell of a boner. It's a weapon.
I got it when I was 6 years old on vacations when I'd wake up from a nap in the back of the car.
That's normal.
Really?
Yeah, and we didn't know what it was doing, but
Here we go.
Dad stopped me.
All right. Sorry. Matt?
Yeah.
All right. Maybe the Accutane.
Well, I mean, I can't get off it. So
you
can.
Is
there anything I can do?
5 years of Accutane.
5 years is a pretty long time. You want any other medication?
No, that's it.
Are you real anxious when you're with these women?
Well, yeah. I mean, when I was with a chick for a long time, for like more than a couple months, I got pretty good. It never did get really all that hard.
Yeah.
The one-night stand chicks, I can't get up at all.
Right.
So yeah.
You just expect
you're anxious.
Yeah, when you're in situations that are intense or anxiety-provoking, it's going to be difficult. And you probably have a little bit of problem with that sort of performance anyway. And then you add something like Accutane. Have you been depressed from the Accutane?
No, never.
Tired?
No.
All right. Well,
it's not the lowest dose they can give me.
How much?
20 a day.
Yeah, it's not that low. I mean, that's, I understand they consider it low because 80 is sometimes what they give. All 20 right. can affect you.
But here's what you can do. You can find one woman, sort of work it out, get your groove. I mean, some guys are not only not cut out for the one-night stand in terms of getting the women to go home with them for the one-night stand, they're not cut out to perform with them for the one-night stand.
It's the catch that's fun, but then you got the prey at home, and what are you going to do?
I mean, catching's great, but then you got to, you know, you got to gut them.
Get the roadside animal cookbook.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm into catch and release now. I catch them and release some semen.
So your hook, your throbbing member has no barbs.
No. I filed those off in junior high shop class.
That's a weapon of mass destruction.
What animal has a penis that has a barb on it?
Lord Byron.
No, but the raccoon. The raccoon is the only animal that has a bone in his penis. And what you can do after you eat the raccoon, the gourmet meal that I have in my menu book,
use the penis bone as a toothpick.
No, take the bone out of the penis and use it as a toothpick. And you'll be showing the raccoon you're proud of him.
Are you serious that a raccoon's the only animal with a bone in its penis?
Yeah, I'm well groomed on knowing animals.
Wow.
He's done his research, apparently.
Why does a raccoon eat a bone in his penis and a possum doesn't?
Because they have masks on and they don't know who they're with in an intimate faction, so they got to get a bone to pierce it. Could be a damn badger.
All right.
That's just badger sound.
Drew, shut up. Trying to do a radio show. All right. Let's take a little break.
Yeah.
Why don't we? We got to regroup.
Warm up.
We got to regroup. Adam DeLaFaney here. Gary Busey and his fabulous Badger Sounds here tonight. I'm with Busey. Tuesday nights, 10 o'clock, Comedy Central. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. 311. We'll be in here tomorrow night. Gary Busey and Adam DeLaPena in here tonight from I'm with Busey. Tuesday nights, Comedy Central. 10 o'clock. All right, let's get back to the phones. We'll speak to Shannon, who seems to have avoided trouble with one of my pet peeves. Shannon, you're 20?
Yes. How are you tonight?
Good.
That's good to hear. You know the left turn on the red left arrow?
You know
the spiel.
Yes, this is just to reset for everybody.
Yeah.
I'm a fan of the left turn arrow in general. I have no trouble when it's green. Letting traffic go. But my question is, why does it need to then turn red while the signal is green? So you sit there watching all the traffic go by.
There ought to be a law.
Yes, and you could clearly turn left, and if it was at the intersection you're at before it, you would have turned left because there was no arrow that was red, and if you were at the intersection that's after it, you would turn left because there'd be no red arrow. Why can't you turn left during that arrow? Why does it need to be red? It should go green and then go blank.
And then yield.
Yeah, just nothing.
It should be yield on red.
They used to have where they were just green and then they just went to nothing.
In passing, they have green light and then green arrow.
All right.
And the green light is yield.
All right.
Well, if you have a red arrow and nobody's coming your way, why not just take the left turn?
That's what I do. That's all I do. And Shannon, you did it?
Yeah, I do it all.
Hey, Shannon.
Good.
Civil disobedience.
We need it like Rosa Parks.
You're starting a
moving to the front
here,
of the bus.
Civil disobedience.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
All right, so you did it, and what happened?
And so I got pulled over.
Right.
Oh, dear. You got to be observing.
And what
and
happened?
I gave him the whole spiel.
Did you say it was Adam's spiel or your spiel? Or had he heard it?
He sort of recognized it. He goes, I don't know where I heard that from, but I know what you're talking about. And he goes, and I don't know if it's against the law, actually. And so he let me go because he didn't know if it was against the law or not.
Oh, wow. Good.
Was
good.
This in Arkansas?
San Diego.
San Diego.
Wow.
And they're, I guess they have Marines to worry about or something instead of college students. I don't know.
I mean, they have bigger fish to fry.
Yeah, a lot of drunken charheads out running over Mexicans. So, yeah, no offense, probably. Adam, but that's what they do over. That's all they do over there.
Where's it? Where is this?
It's
where?
True. They're fleeing.
Little land
where?
San Diego.
It's a San Diego. This is what goes
right
on.
Yeah, right outside of UCSD. So.
You mean they pick out people to hit with their cars to get points?
Yeah, that's what the Marines do.
That is beyond civil disobedience.
It's been going on for years. It's a silent border patrol.
Is it a game? Oh,
there.
A silent border control.
Yeah. What they do is they actually hire Marines to drive around military vehicles, unmarked, and run over illegals.
Do they have weapons on them?
And you know when you're in one of those territories, they have different areas that are marked for different sort of goals. There's one area where they actually have a family.
Yeah.
The kid flying behind them?
Yeah, running across.
You see the signs with that.
Who developed that sign? Who came in and said, listen, we need a new sign, and this is what it is.
What would that be a poster for? What would that be a poster for?
The sign?
No, the kid chasing the car.
It's people crossing the highway with children.
Yeah, if you drive out to San Diego,
the illegal immigrants,
as you start getting close to the border,
the
you
five.
Will see the big sign.
It's like the horse smelling the barn.
The family dragging the kid across the thing. Yeah,
it's like the deer crossing sign.
Yeah.
They have the same thing with the family,
right?
On the yellow.
Obviously, there had to be a meeting for that sign. People had to be informed about it. Decisions had to be made.
Yeah.
It was ridiculous.
Yeah, very offensive. Very offensive. All right. But it gives you a heads up, like, you know, always reminds me not to hit any Mexicans. I'm like, you know, because you start to drift off, you get in a relaxed state, you think, maybe all right, run over a couple of Mexicans. And then you see the sign, and you're reminded.
My God, you're smart.
This is wrong.
It's
you should
only,
not run
it's
over.
Only you're for smart. The, for the military match.
Yeah, now let me tell you this.
Comes into play.
Let me tell you this. The first couple of times I saw the sign, I was confused. I actually drove up on the sidewalk and ran over Mexicans. I thought it was encouraging me to hit Mexicans, because certain signs are asking you to do certain things.
Adam,
you sat and you thought about it.
Adam.
I did some soul searching. I spoke to the Golden Orb.
Adam Carolla.
Yes.
Adam Carolla.
Yes.
It's not the
yes.
Golden Orbs that's going to help you. It's medication.
Really? Yeah. Do you got anything?
Oh, yeah.
What do you got? Gary, you on anything?
Yeah.
What are you on?
Life.
Yeah.
How many milligrams? What do you got? Do you have any prescription, anything?
No, I live in a health position 5,000 miles past heaven.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
All right. You speak, say hi to the Orb.
Hey, Orb. No, this, no, that's not what you do.
All right.
That was stupid.
All right. Chris?
Yeah?
You're 22?
Yep.
What's up?
Well, I just want to say hi to Dr. Drew and Adam and Gary Busey.
Yeah, hi.
How you doing, Gary?
I'm doing good, buddy. How are you?
I loved you in Blue Chips, man.
Oh, that was Nick Nolte. That's my buddy.
Oh, I'm sorry.
We get each other's fan mail. It's okay.
Nick is officially crazier than Gary now. He's surpassed you on the crazy scale.
No.
He's
running noses in the heat.
I don't know. I mean, like...
What does that mean?
They're nose and nose.
They're running
noses in the heat.
I'm saying for a while... Here's how it went. For a while, Jan Michael Vincent was kicking everyone's ass in the crazy race, right? Gary was kind of lying back. Nick Nolte was a distant third. Then Jan started to slide. Gary made his move. Number one in the nutty. Nick saw this. Nick Nolte saw this, and he said, "No way is this guy topping me." And you know what? You know what the through line for all this stuff is?
What, Adam?
PCH. It's always something going on PCH.
That's an incredible artery.
Jan Michael Vincent gets in trouble on PCH. Nick Nolte gets in trouble. Ben Vereen. Didn't he get ran over on PCH?
Yeah.
I'm
going to
look into this. The point is. Nick Nolte has surpassed you, and it's time for you to make your move.
Why do you take the effort to be so critical of everyone, you know?
I'm trying to create a little competition.
It ain't
stoke
working.
A fire under you, brother.
It ain't working.
There's a man walking the planet who's crazier than you are.
No. No one's crazier than me.
Nick Nolte. Nick Nolte.
No.
Nick Nolte has stolen your crazy crown.
No.
And he's wearing it.
My crazy crown is a jubilee of freedom.
Yeah.
That's good.
Now Gary's
going
to settle it. Yeah.
Gary's
on a mission.
I'm on a mission.
You're friends with Nick Nolte?
Yeah.
All right. Get him on an episode of I'm with Busey and have a craze off. Yeah. See who's crazier.
Hey, Nick, my buddy. Are you hearing this? If you're not, I'll lay it to you later. It's not going to be funny.
What celebrity friends do you have? Do you have a lot of celebrity friends?
Everyone.
Really? You know everybody. I mean, you must. You've been in the business for 30 years, right?
33 years, 107 movies.
Wow.
I'm just breaking even, and I love every minute of it.
You've worked with everybody.
Worked with a lot of people.
Yeah, and you've befriended many of them.
Befriended all of them.
Nice. All right.
Gone through a lot of changes, but yay change. Nothing changes but the changes.
And how are you doing? Do you have money in the bank?
Yeah.
Are you secure? Everything's good?
Yeah.
All right, good. All right. Let's talk to Alex, who's 17.
I want to tell you about my hubcap collection.
Oh, really? You have a hubcap collection?
Wait a minute. Put Alex on hold. Go back to Chris on 5. You got his question.
All right. I still like my idea for the episode of the craze off. We could definitely get Jan Michael Vincent.
Chris, look what you did here, buddy. Come on.
Well, here's the problem. I hooked up with a girl a couple nights ago, and I started to go down on her. Everything seemed fine. But then after a while, I noticed she had something hanging down.
And I didn't know what it was. I hadn't seen anything like it before.
Hold on a second, Chris. Hold on a second. Stop right there. Lay on Gary some of your novelty ideas for
things hanging out.
Yeah.
Gary, here's one of my latest inventions.
Adam DeLapena, you'll like this too.
I really like this idea. This is to keep guys away. This is a tampon, but the string is not a piece of cotton string. It is a rat's tail.
Yeah, a mouse in the house. That's what that's called.
So that's what it looks like.
Yeah. The girls call it a mouse in the house.
Yeah, she's got a rat in a cupboard. Yeah, and it scares the guys away.
Yes, it would.
They don't want to get near
them. We got novelty things.
Oh, that wouldn't scare me. That would not scare me.
Right.
That would intrigue my curiosity to find out what's on the other end of that rat tail.
You could think about the roadkill recipe.
Right. Yeah, think about that. The juice.
So you have to think of
another
novelty item for him.
There's nothing like feminine lubricant when you're dressing roadkill menus.
Right. Yeah. All right. Well, but again, it's going to keep 99.9% of people away. You and Jan Michael Vincent.
No. Don't blame him. He's a good man. He's doing good.
So we got all these novelty things.
I think you should get on the crazy off.
I'm thinking about it. Chris, I'm going to consult the orb after the show. Chris, so what was hanging off her?
Well, I described it to my friends. It was about the length of a cigarette, and it was about twice as thick, and it was really fleshy. And it kind of like popped out.
Frozen banana.
Yeah, that's a penis.
I mean,
you're with a Hishi. Well, look, Drew, what is that?
Where's Vellini when you need him?
He could be the labia minora, the inner lips popping out.
Well, but if it was like a cigar and it was sticking out.
It didn't have a head on it, and it wasn't erect or anything, and so I thought it was maybe like her clitoris, but I don't know.
There is clitoral gigantism,
yeah,
right?
Is it up where the clitoris is supposed to be?
Somewhat, yes.
Somewhat, yes.
That could be what it was.
Quite an answer.
Some of them can have large clitoris.
Yeah, I think it was a displaced toilet fish.
I
3 inches long?
It's possible.
Yeah, don't eat a lot.
Well, yeah. My policy is I do not date any women whose clits are bigger than my penis.
Strong policy.
Yeah, and I stand by it.
Yeah.
And I live and die with it. I got to be honest with you. It's been a mixed blessing policy.
It sort of shrinks the pool for you, I bet.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm down, yeah.
It's a good filter.
All right. So, Chris, you planning on getting with her again?
Yeah, probably. I mean.
Why?
Why?
Yeah, when you don't know what's in her. It could be a weapon of mass destruction.
The pickings are slim.
All right. Well, then enjoy. I don't know if it's bogus or what his problem was.
The problem was it
sounds like drugs.
Problem.
Sounds like drugs.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk to Alex, who's 17. Alex.
Hi.
What's up?
Okay. I've been with my boyfriend for like 2 months now, and I'm still a virgin, and we haven't had sex. But like every time, like I give him head or like I'm giving him a hand job, it takes forever to get him to come.
What? How long's forever?
Like, it's 45 minutes to an hour.
Ooh.
Wow.
He's probably having a lot of fun and just lingering.
Yeah, maybe he's trying to prolong it. But really, you give him 45 minutes to an hour of oral sex?
Yeah, like, I mean, I'll give him a little head, and then, like, I'll start jacking him off, and then he still won't come, and I don't know if it's me or if it's him or what.
You're going to end up having to soak your jaws in Epsom salts if you keep this up.
Yeah, why,
ask him?
Why just the little head and then the hand? Why not just finish him with the head part?
Because he knows I can't do it that, like, long because, I don't know, it's kind of, like, uncomfortable after a while.
Right. All right. As long as you've maintained the sanctity of your virginity, that's the important part after the marathon head session.
Like a lot of work.
Fall by the two-hour handy. You couldn't just let me have sex with you at a certain point? I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Are you a religious person?
No, I'm not. It's just, I don't know. He knows that I'm not ready yet.
Oh, there you go. There's your answer right there. You're not ready yet, so don't do it till you're ready.
Yeah, he may be one of these guys that needs penetration in order to have an orgasm. Is he a virgin?
No, he's not.
Mm-hmm. All right. Has he had this problem in the past?
No.
Do you ask him about it?
Yeah, I talked to him about it, and, like, he says that usually he comes really easily, so I must be me or something. I don't know.
Has he asked you to change your technique or anything?
Well, like, he didn't really mention anything because, like, we just did it, like, probably a week ago.
Yeah. What if he, that's going to sound a little bizarre, but what if he masturbated while you just sort of gyrated in front of him in various stages of undress? Would that work?
That could be healthy.
I could go for that.
Yeah. That's what you do all the time, though.
Yeah, that's true. How dare you, Drew? What do the Orb hears about this?
Oh, a lot of solutions to a lot of problems.
The Orb's already know.
The Orb's there.
All right, so Alex.
Yeah.
Don't worry about your technique. It's fine. This is his problem. You guys are working things out.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have to give him an orgasm. You understand?
Yeah.
I don't know what the answer is.
Have fun.
I just want to know, like, if I'm doing something wrong. Because
how the hell do we know if you're doing something wrong, you idiot?
Yeah!
It's very
difficult. What are you doing?
You biting him and putting a cigarette out on his dork? Are you doing anything ridiculous?
Have you painted a head on his head?
It's very difficult that you're not likely to be doing anything wrong.
Paint a face on the head.
It's very difficult to do something wrong in what you're doing there.
Right.
Paint a face on the head.
Yes.
For the Sistine Chapel.
All right, so, Alex, you're not doing anything wrong.
Okay.
It's him.
Yeah, him.
I would orgasm almost immediately. Okay?
Really?
Yeah. That's okay. Me. All right?
Okay, thank you.
All right.
Is that your calling card?
Yeah. Yep, the ladies know what to expect. I'll also, I'll just keep a balloon of semen in my wallet in case it gets uncomfortable.
They love giving you oral, Anderson.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know what I am? A lot of guys talk about their prowess, about how they give good oral, or about how they're great lovers. My claim to fame is something a little bit different. I am the number one receiver of oral. My technique for receiving oral is impeccable. Better than that.
Let's hear about it.
We'd like to see it? Watch this. Yeah. I mean, it's that, you know.
Right.
As long as it goes on.
It's very engaging.
Oral. Yeah.
I think it's going to be Oscar time for you real soon.
Yeah. And once in a while, I'll do a thing with my free hand, you know, where I like sort of rest it on top there.
Make sure it's your left hand.
Left hand, do that. I'm not usually holding the microphone when I'm getting the oral, so you have to sort of.
You should record your glee and your satisfactory and your screams that you do. Name the names that you're with in a past life.
Yeah, I think. Oh, that's a good question, Gary. You must have been somebody else in a past life.
I've been pirates. I've been American Indians.
Really?
Yeah.
Pirates.
Yeah. Pirates are cool.
Yes, pirates.
Which pirate were you?
I don't know which one I was, but I was a vast pirate with a winch that bit a hole in me ear, and I gutted it out and took her jewelry and became a rich man in Tortuga.
Shocking.
Tortuga.
And what did you? How do you know you're a pirate in a past life?
I just know when I see ships and boats and guys dressed as pirates, mm-hmm. I'm going to start to froth in my mouth, and the memories come to me from a hallucinogenic place that I took no drugs to obtain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when Gary told me, I was a pirate in the past life, I didn't really question it. I said, that sounds about right.
It is.
It does.
That's pretty much 100% accurate.
There are past life regressions. We come around here a lot.
You know, my only suspicion with the past life is nobody just basically cleaned out stables and did nothing like 99% of the population.
How about 60 or 70% of the population died in infancy. How come anybody wasn't one of the people?
No, everyone was nobility.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Most people died in infancy.
Cleopatra.
Hey, you're searching for clues with an invisible answer you can't grasp. And I like that about you.
How many people can be Cleopatra? Really?
Well,
there can only be one, right? And then you got to say, no, I was Cleopatra.
Throughout history, the infancy death rate was like 2 out of 3.
So right.
Most people in their past lives would have had to have been
mathematically
a child that died in infancy.
No, yeah. You know,
and yet nobody was.
No, yeah. In the spiritual realm, some children come onto Earth and they're not ready to be here yet, and they leave on their own. Another spirit and soul captures that body.
But how come none of the people who are living now were one of those spirits?
That could be.
They don't go in their past life regressions to that state. Ever. Ever.
There's no past life. It's just you go back home and then you come back again. You choose your own parents.
I'm just saying, like, if my dad is reborn 20 years from now.
There's no time over there on the other side.
But the point is when he comes back and looks at his life as a sort of flunky substitute school teacher who lived in North Hollywood, it's going to be very boring for the therapist.
No, you don't come back to your life and look at your past life. You come back as a vegetable, a little you don't know what to do, you don't know what to say. The favorite thing a baby does is taking a poop and rubbing it on their face because they created that. That's their first creation.
Really?
Poop face.
Still into that. A lot of Germans are, too, I hear.
Well, you know the shortest book in the world?
What?
500 Years of German Humor. One page.
Let's take ourselves a little break. Gary Busey.
Yay!
Laughing time is over.
The second craziest man alive. Yeah, second to Nick Nolte. Sorry, Gary.
No,
sorry, buddy.
He refutes that statement.
Lost the title. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Everybody,
yeah, yeah,
here, please.
Yeah, get it fucking out. Get it,
No, I'm saying funky.
Oh, funky.
Come
okay.
on, Drew.
No, I gotta get with it here.
Get hip, buddy.
Funky, F-U-N-K-Y.
That's right. Gary Busey, getting funky.
Getting funky.
He's got the funk.
Third craziest man in Hollywood.
What's going on in your funky head?
Also, Adam De La Pena is making a...
smack it up, baby.
...strong push for top five top craziest in Hollywood for working with Gary Busey. See, here's the whole thing.
It's not Scary Busey, it's Gary Busey.
Sorry, you do a show with one of the top three craziest guys in Hollywood, that makes you in the top 10 automatically.
Really?
See what I'm saying?
That's cool.
By proxy. Just you have to be nuts in order to do a show,
Adam does not know what proxy means. He thinks it's a medication for depression.
True.
Tabs.
Or topical ointment.
Show is I'm with Busey, by the way, which is Tuesday nights, 10 o'clock.
It's funny!
Comedy Central.
It's unexpected, comes without warning, and you'll get a message from it, and you need to tape every episode.
Adam, give a couple of good rentals, a couple of good Gary Busey rentals.
Okay, first you got to go and you got to get Point Break.
Point Break is good. Point Break is good.
The other one that I like, even though he's not in all the movie, but he makes a strong appearance and two strong pushes, is Black Sheep.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. If you haven't seen it, it's great. It has a surprise ending featuring Gary.
One of my favorite roles was directed by Sidney Pollack in a movie called The Firm.
Yeah, that's another great one.
Right in the
middle
there.
Those are good movies. No Point Break. Big Wednesday.
Big Wednesday's great.
It's no Gumball Rally.
Yes.
Yeah, that was hot. Gumball Rally? He drove the Camaro.
I went through the Holland Tunnel at 120 miles an hour between 27 stuntmen and three Panavision cameras glued on the front of my car.
And I asked him, how'd you do that? He's like, I just did it.
You just do it.
Drove on two wheels?
Yeah, I put it up on two wheels.
Up on two wheels on a freeway?
As a matter of fact, one of our shows coming up called Protection, I show Adam how to face protection with Bobby Orr's training driving.
Bobby Orr, the hockey player?
No, the race car driver. He runs a training school for driving.
Defensively.
Oh, really?
Defensive driving.
And how you turn cars around to chase another car, and how you can pull into a parking place that's just big enough.
Doing the e-brakes and stuff?
Yep.
Nice.
Interesting enough, the car uses Ford Escort.
Nice. Adam's a Fiesta man normally.
normally.
Yeah. He does an e-brake on a donkey.
Slides it perfectly in between the other two.
All right, little Mexican stereotype.
You do what on a donkey? What do you do on a donkey?
Don't worry about it.
What does he do on a donkey?
Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it.
I'll tell you later.
All right, one other great Gary Busey movie. Got any thoughts? What about that Human Prey movie?
That's great.
Surviving the game. You're out chasing
Ice-T. We got Ice-T. I was a psychiatrist for the CIA. Which meant that I took assassinators like Rutger Hauer and Charlie Durning, and I created something to find the homeless man. Are you listening, Drew?
Yeah, he's listening.
To find the homeless man, and a guy that didn't have a life to live for. A guy that didn't have a life to live for, so they bring him out and tell him he's going to be a hunting guide.
Yeah.
But they let him go, and 6 hours later, they come after him to kill him.
That's right. Not enough.
And I created the game.
Not enough Human Prey movies for
money. No, there should be more Human Prey movies.
They always used to do that where they go, the ultimate challenge, man. It's like, how about a bull rhino or something? man. It's like, really? I could kick a lot of guys' asses. I don't think I could handle a gator. Man, the ultimate prey.
Not enough gator movies either.
Yeah, we got to bring those back. I'd like to do a human gator prey movie with you, Gary.
Human gator prey?
Yeah, gator. Gator. We got to bring gator movies. Yeah.
Hey, also, Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas. He's a cop in Fear and Loathing.
Oh, Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas. Yeah.
I was a cop. I was a highway patrolman that...
So we got, we're six movies into the 170s done, Drew?
Yeah.
You got 101 to rattle off in the next 40 seconds. You ready?
I mean, it's just amazing that just in the last decade there's been like 40.
Matt?
Yeah?
You're 18?
Uh-huh.
What's up?
I just wanted to talk to Gary about Mazeppa.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
What is that?
Mazeppa Pomizzotti's Uncanny Film Festival and Camp Meeting was in Tulsa, Oklahoma in the late 60s and early 70s. Myself and Gaylor Chartain, who is a wonderful friend of mine and a lovely artist, painting, and a lovely actor, we did a show that we made it up while we went. And I was Teddy Jack Eddy.
And Mazeppa was all these different characters, and we just had free fall improv, and it's not unlike what we're doing now with I'm Booth Music.
Remember the shows where they would show a movie and they would have they would come back and there would be some sort of form of entertainment in the movie.
Yeah, great skits.
Yeah, that's what they would do.
Hey, Matt, how do you know about this?
Yeah, man.
My dad bought the lost tapes at Best Buy.
Oh my gosh!
Oh wow!
So you said that's me. That's me as a 27-year-old young man dancing my way through idiocy.
Yeah, quite virile.
But it's good, isn't it? Wasn't it good?
Yeah.
All right, man.
I just like to say I learned a lot from the Teddy Jack Eddy School of Acting.
School of acting, school of crying, school of fighting in slow motion, school of making airplane noises so you can get a job in a Hollywood movie making airplane sounds.
Can you do that?
Yeah.
Let's hear one. Hold on, Drew. Quiet down. Let Gary do it. Okay, do the impersonation.
That's good, Drew.
All right, do
not you, real pro.
Do Jets or just props?
Jets? No, yeah. No. These are
just twin engines.
These are like flying now.
The war films.
War films.
These are like P-38s,
Corsairs, P-38s,
right.
P-51s.
Yeah.
Scarlett O'Hara's.
How about like a Mustang? You know, something supercharged, water cooled.
Oh man.
All right, you work on that. You think about that for a day.
Hey, Butthorn. That is a chainsaw.
Hey, Kelly. You're 23. What's up?
I have two issues.
Mm-hmm.
Issue number one, I'm 23 years old, and I'm just attracted to younger men. Like, not even younger men, like younger boys, like 17.
What on earth for?
18. I don't know. It's just...
They're just safer? Maybe they're safe. You can't get in a long-term relationship. You can't get intimate with them.
Right.
I mean, you can't get emotionally intimate
with
them.
It's like a hit and miss. You go and you go
they're
and
safe.
Move on.
You know they're not in for a big relationship.
That's the reason why I date younger guys, because there's no commitment.
Right. And that means you're scared of intimacy. You're scared of commitment.
I am.
Yep.
Yeah.
Commitment phobia.
It means your dad left, right?
Or more.
Yeah.
All right.
But now I'm seeing this younger guy. He's 17, and what I didn't want to happen, which I like got intimate with him, and now I'm like starting to fall in love with him, and it's ridiculous because I'm 23 years old and he's 17. And
yeah.
Do you know it's love you're falling into, or is it infatuation?
I think it's infatuation, but I don't know. Maybe it can turn into love.
All right. Well, here's the thing, Kelly. We got to go because Gary used up the hour making airplane noises. But, so we wish we could help you.
Right.
But here's the deal. He's 17, you're 23. It's not insurmountable. If you're into him, then just try it.
But the fact that you are so intimately involved suggests he's probably not going to be very available for long. So
all right.
We'll see.
We'll be back. Or you can ask the orb, which may replace the magic eight ball.
The orb will tell you without asking.
We'll take a break. Well, that's the show. Where did the time go? I want to thank Gary Busey for coming in here tonight.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Third craziest man in Hollywood. You got to get busy, my friend.
I am busy.
You got to get busier. You got to recapture the crown.
You know what I have planned for you when this is over?
What's that?
A little ass kicking?
No.
A little squirrel pie?
No, identify the stain.
I like that one.
And tickle and pee and scratch and sniff. And I have some friends who are going to participate with us.
All right. You can punch my card because after that I get a free scratch and sniff. All right, let's take a little extendo break.
Did you notice he looked at Drew when he said that? Free scratch
my man. I want to thank my second man, Mijo, Adam De La Peña.
Thank you for having me.
Mazel tov.
Honor,
friend. Great to have you here. All right, I'm with Busey. Tuesday nights, 10 o'clock, Comedy Central, 311 in here tomorrow night. And until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
Which you can also use dead animals as mobiles for a children's bed.
Say hi to the orb.
Hey, orb. No, there's no, that's not what you do.
All right.
That was stupid.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.